Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Did something.
I did a thing.
What did you do, Kenny?
I rebuilt the rig. As you can see, it is fully armed and operational.
Yep.
It's putting off a lot of heat, though, which is warming my my nethers down here.
Nice.
But it's so you're it's
baking,
working.
You're baking some Fremunda cheese.
Yeah, a little bit.
Fremunda
yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, hello. That's welcome gross. To the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
And Worshipful Brother Ken. And
today we're on episode
229. Yes, sir.
Switch back to YouTube so I can see the comments. Beautiful. Shay, finally here for a live viewing. Yeah, we're finally back up after the reg went kaboom underneath Ken's legs.
Crispy computer. And it's working well. Everything is amazingly working great.
We thought it was working great the last time until it freaking grenaded underneath there and filled your legs full of shrapnel.
Yeah, it's still like 92 degrees Fahrenheit up here, so we'll have to see if something else just decides to cook.
Hopefully not, but
I hope not.
Anyway, we are doing episode 229. This is going to be an alternate universe, and I'll explain my... Ken, actually, it was pretty funny when we came up here. Ken's like, what the hell are we talking about? And I said, we're going to do an alternate universe, and it's Freemasonry in another dimension. And I will explain why, and it'll all make sense on why I chose this topic. Josh McCray,
we
should just keep saying we can't hear them just to mess with them. That'd be fucked up.
Yeah, we can see what you're saying. It's better when you just mess with us.
Yeah, pretty much. It'd be a good gig, though. I mean, it's been done before.
For sure.
So, but we're going to do some general housekeeping.
Yep.
I want to welcome Shay. Thanks for checking in and watching live for the first time. And Ken.
Yeah.
Start with Insta.
Right on. Over on Instagram, we've got a few new followers. We've got Shane Shepherdson, 808 Cali, Grigory Rasputin, FMP underscore Rasputin. So it's still happening.
It's still happening. It's still people trolling us and shit. Yeah.
That Savage Taco, which is a great freaking name. Dakota Goff, Cole Hamilton, Al Malika Shriners. What's up, brothers? Diego, Zach Acker, Shane Kelly, Sandra Lombardo, Jan, Marcella.
Or is it Jan?
No, it's Jan.
Oh, okay.
I think. I don't know.
Continue.
Marcelo Nascentes, Demora Del Padrino 543 official. So thank you, brothers and friends.
Beautiful. Kenny, you ready? Lead it.
All right. Brother, right hand, two arms.
Two arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brother.
Vivat, vivat, vivat. All right.
That was for you, Train.
We have a Apple 5-star review,
sweet,
as we always read. And this one's from Farley. 196. Every time I hear Farley, I think of Chris Farley. I'm sorry.
He is the man.
Why are you beating me? I love that movie. I swear to God, what is that? Black Sheep?
I think that was Black Sheep. Right? Yeah.
When the bat flew in, and he put the blanket over his head, and he was just whooping his ass with a freaking...
It's quality comedy.
Richard, why are you beating me?
You just can't get away with that kind of comedy these days. It's classic. You gotta go back and watch it. History.
Anticipation is high. 5-star review. I started listening to the podcast because a friend of mine encouraged me to find out as much as I can before my journey. You're going to find out that we are a bunch of idiots, and that's pretty much what Masonry is.
Some of us, anyway.
Bunch of guys who act like idiots. And we have some sort of moral compass.
Some sort.
Some sort.
More so than most people. Maybe.
I started back at the beginning of the podcast to keep learning as I await my petition to be brought up at my local lodge in a few short days. I love the balance and banter and education this podcast brings. Sometimes we just go off the rails and do an alternate universe and just talk about crazy shit.
Yeah, it's a good thing we got this review in now.
Yeah. I look forward to learning more as I work through the episodes. Dakota Goff.
Ah, he was actually a new follower on Instagram as well.
Instagram. Well, we're going to salute you twice.
Right on.
Mr. Dakota Goff.
Yeah.
Brother, right hand to arms.
To arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brother. Viva, viva, viva. All right, Kenny.
Yeah.
Let's get crazy.
Okay. I'm ready. I love these.
Hold on, Shay. This podcast is what made me reach out to a lodge after years of wanting to. Now I'm just waiting for 6 months of residency before I can join. Yeah. What is it? Connecticut's 12?
I think Connecticut is at least 12 months.
I think it's 12 months, but yeah. Hey, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. We love hearing that.
Yep. That's what we started it for. That's what we do. And no. I also like shit talking a lot to the freaking conspiracy theorists.
Yeah,
oh, while we're
we haven't
on
done
that
in a while, actually.
While we're on that subject.
Oh, do you want to make
PS? What is it? PSA? Public service announcement.
Yes.
Public service announcement. There is a new scam going on, and that scam is Dave Valdez. What's going on? That scam is that supposed worshipful masters of lodgers are going around to Masons trying to get a hold of you. What is it? A gift card scheme?
Yeah.
Trying to get gift cards.
So it's a lot like in business. It's called a CEO phishing scam, I think.
No, that's funny. I call it an ASSHOLE scam.
It is, especially when you're trying to impersonate a worshipful master of a lodge.
Yeah.
What these guys used to do historically is they impersonate a CEO of a company or somebody that's high up in finance, a CFO, something like that.
Sons of bitches.
And then you send an email to somebody who has the ability to purchase gift cards on behalf of the organization. You make it seem like you're stuck in an airport and you need these things immediately. Now they're doing it with worshipful masters because they know that, you know, if a worshipful master sends you an email and you're a Mason, you're generally going to help the guy out.
Pretty much.
So now they're targeting worshipful masters.
So now they're, they're targeting Masons,
targeting Masons, you're right.
Pretending to be worshipful masters. I'll tell you right now, no master Mason nor any master of a lodge is going to ask for gift cards. They're going to say, hey, give me a check or cash or a Venmo or PayPal or something. And you better make sure you know who the hell you're PayPaling. Because I'm telling you right now, it's a good, I'm not gonna lie, I gotta give credit where credit's due. It's a pretty good goddamn scam.
Yeah.
It's pretty smart, clever.
Yeah, but if you get one of these things, dude, call your worshipful master.
No, ask him if he
is in fact the one who sent that.
Correct.
That's the easiest way to do it.
Correct.
And maybe it is legitimate, but you never want to, you have to second guess it and you have to verify.
We have a guy. I know a guy.
You know a guy.
I know a guy. He's called Agent 47 on Discord, who actively goes after and calls out these people.
Trolls them
and shuts them down. And how do you get to talk to him, Ken?
Well, the only way to talk to him directly is either to be his friend on Facebook, I guess, or you could also...
Don't give Zuckerberg.
No, I'm... Okay, yeah, he doesn't deserve any free advertising. You could also join Discord. The way that you join Discord is by joining Patreon for $5, as low as $5 a month. You can join Patreon, get access to exclusive content, access to our Discord server where we have voice, video, and text chat.
Correcto.
You get to speak directly to us and to Agent 47 and to all of the other OG followers of the podcast, including the elusive Green Gangrene.
Gangrene.
I almost screwed that up.
Who... just recently started this year's rendition of the fantasy football. Right now, I'm a prior champion. Danny Collins is a prior champion. So who is it going to be this year for the fantasy football, Discord fantasy football?
Maybe me.
Maybe.
Is the league closed now, or do people have a chance to join Patreon and still jump in Discord and get in on the fantasy football league?
I think that Rafferty and Steve Saxton, whose name in Discord is Big Saxy.
Yes. They got the last two seats.
They got the last two seats, but they have not confirmed yet. So there might be opening if you're interested.
And you know what? People do occasionally drop out of the league. And if that happens, then we do shuffle some people in that are on the wait list. So if you're into fantasy football, do join. It's a lot of fun. The proceeds, I think it's what we're doing, like $50 a head.
Correct.
And the pot size then is $500 or $600, something like that. And the proceeds all go to the winner's charity of choice.
Correct.
Which is pretty cool.
Aaron Rudemeyer, where's my pen? Yeah, we still got to. I haven't even got to the pens. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't got to the pens. I was working on challenge coins for a while because we're going to do those as well for the YouTube guys. And with the way that my work has been going, and I know it's poor excuse, but the way that work for me, my job has been going, I've gotten little and or zero free time to do anything of the nature. Once we slow down come September or October, I should be able to start getting those banged out because we ran out of pins.
Yeah, we got to get the next shipment in. We should send him something nice, though, because he's in the big boy tier on Patreon. So we're going to have to do something nice for you, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Stand by, brother. Thank you for calling us out.
Yep, definitely. Let me know and remind me because I also suffer from I forget every goddamn thing that somebody tells me, too. So it's a major curse of mine.
You got to start writing things down.
I do. Anyway, you ready, Kenny?
I am.
All right, so let me start off by prefacing this. And the reason why I got into this alternate universe, different dimensions thing, I've been watching a show on Amazon. I watch it in my free time when I'm literally doing nothing, usually when I'm on my nighttime post.
All right.
And I'm behind locked gates and there's nothing going on. I got into this show called The Man in the High Castle. I've seen it before, but I followed it up. The premise of the show is a alternate universe, if you will, no pun intended, of where the Nazis won World War II and took over the United States, and the Japanese took over the Western states, and it's a whole alternate of
alternate history.
What actually happened in history.
Yep.
And it talks about key points in history of, I think, it's actually a book. It was originally... Mm-hmm. It's Shay. Good series. Wait till the end. It's gonna blow your mind at the end. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah, I never finished it myself, but I did like it.
So in the end, there's these. I don't know when to give away the ending, but there's these films that somehow made it to this alternate universe, alternate dimension from our dimension of where we won. So they know something's up.
Different.
And okay. Again, I don't want to give away the ending, but there's there's an event that happens at the end that everything kind of meshes together. And spoiler alert, I'm not trying to give away too much because it is a really good series and you should watch it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what brought me on to this. And I got to thinking like, you know, right now Masonry in... Again, if you believe into that hokey pokey shit that there's different dimensions. Ken, do you believe in that? That there's different dimensions or different alternate histories that maybe instead of a transparent IT guy is a super tan buff, I don't know, gun guy. I don't know.
I tell myself that every morning.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Like, out there. Yeah, I mean, in a manner of speaking, yeah, I do believe that there are other parallel realities. You know what? I've been watching a show like that as well. And I think it's one that you might be interested in as well. Have I told you about this?
Oh, God. Tell me it's not Stranger Things.
It is not. Oh, no, it's an alternate history. And it's actually called For All Mankind.
I actually seen that on Apple TV.
Yeah, Apple TV.
Yep. Pretty good.
But it's basically if the Russians had landed on the moon before the Americans and the space race continues. So it starts from like Apollo 10 and everything branches off of that.
Really?
It's really, really well done. I think we were talking about it on Discord as well. I highly recommend it if anybody's into, you know, the space program because it is very, very like accurate in how mission control works and how space flight works and a lot of the same kind of historical figures from the space program back then you would recognize because, you know, they're in this alternate history as well.
Right.
But yeah, I've been kind of in that headspace as well.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I derived this brainchild, if you will. So we're going to talk about, first, I want you to pick, again, I want you to bake your little noodle here and come up with a moment in history that you think Freemasonry could have been different or went a different way.
Okay.
So I got a couple, but we're going to just toss it around. So do you want to start?
No, I need to think about it. Also, right. I want to see which ones you picked because you probably picked one.
So we know Masonry in our dimension, our plane of existence, whatever you want to call it, is a benign organization. It is a it is a charitable. We kind of got away from the whole getting away from toppling governments and shit type stuff that we were doing in the 1700s. I mean, think about it. I mean, you had, you know.
Well, Freemasonry was never like openly inciting rebellion.
No, they were against. They've never openly incited rebellion. Right. But let's be real. Garibaldi was involved in a rebellion.
A lot of folks that were Freemasons were doing that stuff. But yeah, I don't think, you know, it wasn't like the Grand Master of the jurisdiction was like, all right, let's, you know.
Also,
eat the king.
Well, I got to read this, Aaron
Neumeier.
Neumeier. Oh, so I'm saying it wrong. He's breaking my balls. He says, also, I know your last name pronouncing game is subpar. it's a little worse than subpar. You're being generous. He said, but it's pronounced Neumeier. Neumeier. It's German. Neumeier. Oh, okay. Oh, this is right up your alley then if we're talking about the Man in the High Castle.
And it's spelled pretty much phonetically. I don't know how you could screw that up. What were you calling him?
I don't know. Neudemeyer?
Neudemeyer? Neudemeyer. Jesus Christ, man. There's not even
I screw up Devaney's last name. I call him Delvaney. There's no L in there. I suck at names. It's just common knowledge. I blow at giving people's last names. I'm terrible at it.
That's true. That's fine.
And the more vowels and consonants you put in there, the worse it gets.
Yeah. The more you have to add in.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, you know what's even funny? I can't even spell Joe Zanino's last name correctly. I suck. I'm terrible.
I screw that up, too.
I always put Zanninno.
Right, yeah, because you don't know how many. There are two N's next to each other somewhere in his last name. I just don't know if it's at the beginning or the end.
It's Zanninno.
Okay, so it's at the end.
Yes.
That's what I always
say. I cheese it up every single time. And now it's at a point where my spell check on my phone's like.
It doesn't know what the
hell. Yeah, whatever.
Just like.
Call him Fuck Knuckles McGee. Like, it's.
It could be any of these. I don't know. I can't give you any advice.
If the Catholic Church, Daniel Valdez, if the Catholic Church was successful in squashing all free thinking societies in the 1600s, 1700s in Europe, truthfully, also applies. You said my name, McShay. All good, brother. I know it's a few too many syllables. You're damn right. Change your name. It's no Goff.
You're making it really hard on us.
And I'd probably say that wrong, too. It's probably Goof or something like that. Anyway, so alternate universe. Getting back to what we were talking about, you know, it's Freemasonry in the 1600s, 1700s, and I say 1600s because I firmly believe it didn't just randomly pop up in the 1700s when the first Grand Lodge was formed. They were active free thinkers and disagreed with a church state. They wanted a separation of church and state. So, with that being said, were they traitors? Were they revolutionaries? Yeah.
No, free thinkers.
They got involved in government stuff. I mean, it's well documented that they did. And then you come right up to 1775, 1776, where they were, I mean, St. Andrew's Lodge was above the Green Dragon Tavern. Next thing you know, there's a bunch of tea getting launched over the freaking side. Like, I'm just throwing it out there. They couldn't open lodge, or they had to go to refreshment because they didn't have enough members.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Like, so with that being said, I guess my first one would be the Morgan Affair.
Okay,
I got two.
That's where
of them.
I was going to, but okay,
I got two of them. So I'm going to go with the Morgan Affair.
Okay.
So the Morgan Affair was there was an anti-Masonic party. They were trying to get rid of Freemasonry. I'm a firm believer that an alternate universe, that if that actually happened where the anti-Masonic party won, what would happen to Freemasons? So I don't think in that day and age that there would just be like lynching of Freemasons, and but I mean, possible. They could have burned down their lodges. They could have. I mean, and this would happen only in the United States. United States at that time wasn't very influential, so I think you'd see less Freemasonry in the United States that you see today, and more so overseas. Mm-hmm. It would be an overseas thing. Do I think it would eventually have come back here to the States? Yes, but I don't think it would be as influential. You wouldn't have George Washington Masonic memorials.
Yeah, because there would have been like a logical break between.
And realistically, it was the Masons who kind of designed the George Washington memorial.
Yep.
So you'd have a lot less influence Masonically in the United States of America.
Yeah, maybe it would have never taken off to the level that it did as a result of that, too.
And the other thing would be, I believe that Freemasonry would be here, but it would have gone well underground extremely fast very early on. So I think Freemasonry in modern day wouldn't be so out in the open. I think it would be much more secretive than it actually is today.
Well, you're also implying that, you know, if they won and if there was some, I don't know, legislation or something that came out that said basically that Freemasonry is now illegal federally. I think you're also implying that we would just close down our lodges and stop communicating Masonically. Do you think that that would actually happen?
I think the lodges wouldn't be these giant extravagant buildings. I think let's see. I just want to comment on this real quick. Aaron Ruder, Neumeier.
God
damn.
Jesus.
Have you ever done an alternate reality? Yes, we did. You'll have to look back in our episodes, but yes, we did an alternate reality where modern-day masonry was banned. Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. We talked about it and where we would go. I think you might have one done. Yeah, we did. So you were asking me a question. I don't think that you would have masonry as these big grandioso buildings. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have the House of the Temple. You're not going to have your big New Haven building. That's
because you can't. Because you can't like build these things if your organization is
correct
banned federally.
That's just the thing. I don't know if they'd be banned federally. Continued to this day. I think it probably, if as time got on and more people started thinking, now this is
but
really
would gonna, they go underground?
This is really going to bake your noodle, and I'm gonna. This one's gonna really throw a curveball to you. Here's why: you're not gonna have your grandioso buildings. You're probably gonna have your Mason meetings underground in people's houses, like the old days.
Yeah,
that's where I think it would go. Now, the question is, if Masonry is openly attacked, in a sense, by this anti-Masonic party where they're trying to disband Masonry and everything, what happens when the Masons fight back, or if they decided to fight back?
Or do they?
But again, this is your alternate reality. Let's say the Masons... Okay, I keep this light on. We're losing sunlight. Yeah. Let's say the Masons decide to, we're not taking this lying down. We're going to protect our order. I think you're going to have a much more, I wouldn't say benign Freemasonry. You're going to have a very aggressive Freemasonry.
Maybe.
Because I don't think there are a lot of Masons, even today in modern day, that if they ever decided to ban us, they'd be like, F that.
Yeah. I choose to believe that, even like today, modern day, right? So us operating under the rules that we currently operate under, right? Because if this happened back during the Morgan affair, Freemasonry was a lot different of an organization back then.
Right.
We took a lot more seriously than we do today, and then there's other things that we didn't take as seriously. Right. If it happened today, I like to think that we as Freemasons, the majority of us, would probably just go underground. Right, meet underground in people's houses, that kind of thing. Of course, you wouldn't have huge charitable contributions. You wouldn't have large, building.
Well, I can tell you right now, the Masons would take every single dollar they have in the stock market, and it would be yanked instantly.
Yeah, but
to protect their money.
It could also be that the government would freeze all those assets, too. Oh, it kind of depends on how that would,
But I also think that Masons would have an inkling that that's going to happen.
Yeah, and just
Yank it prematurely. It prematurely. Don't ever do that. It's never mind.
It's frowned upon by economists.
Yeah, the other thing would be I think you'd see a change to our ritual and rules and regulations.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Because I think that the whole peaceable person thing, it's not all jurisdictions. Some of them will probably take it like a bitch and lay down. I hate to say it harshly, but they would just lay down. They'd be like, oh, okay, you know, they want us to disband. We're just going to disband. We won't call ourselves Masons anymore. We'll call ourselves what the hell ever. But, and Shay, thank you. You're right along the same lines as me. He said, from what I've seen, Idaho Masons would fight back. You're going to get a lot of jurisdictions. You're going to get a lot of jurisdictions that are the good old corn-fed white boys, in a sense. Or, I mean,
harsh generalization.
Yeah, I'm just making a point. And I'm sure there are many black Masons that are going to be like, yeah, no, the hell with this shit. Mm-hmm. And they're going to fight back, especially against a government that says you can't do something anymore. Aaron, he says, yeah, Michigan would definitely fight back. Yeah, I think you'd see a lot of... they'd be doing things... Now, to the grand scale of where they would go with it, as to actually openly fight, I doubt that, where you're actually talking about trading rounds and punches and stuff like that. But I can definitely see that where, it, like you said, it would go underground. It would completely just... They pull down every website. They pull off everything off Facebook. Yep. There'd be zero contributions to any charity, and they would just dive into a hole like a freaking mole, and just you'd never see them or hear from them again. They wouldn't wear lapel pins. If anything, you'd see things like the forget-me-not, and you'd see things that have become synonymous with Masonry underground start to come back to light again.
Yeah, or maybe there would be new symbols. I mean, obviously, we have no shortage of different symbols, right? Somebody would just, like, pick one at random.
Right.
And be like, all right, well, this is what we're going to have on our rings from now on. And
I also think you would see the Masons fight back in a different way, which would be they would weasel their way into government to get things flipped.
Yeah.
Where they would actually take part in trying to get elected. Now, mind you, think about this.
Or lobby against it or whatever.
Or lobby against it. But take this into consideration now. Masons at this point have already yanked all their freaking money out of the stock market. That'd be one hell of a nut for the campaign trail.
Yeah.
If you think about it, that's what I think personally would happen if this Morgan Affair thing actually happened. So in an alternate universe, I can definitely see Masons fighting back. This is my thing. I don't know if it would be violent.
I don't think it would. I choose to believe it.
I think initially, back when the anti-Masonic party was around, okay, it was a different world back then.
Yep.
So back then, could I see an actual physical fight? Yes. I mean, Christ, Andrew Jackson caned the hell out of somebody in the middle of freaking Congress floor. Like, he beat somebody with a cane.
Yeah, he did things like that.
And he was a Mason. Like, yeah.
Not a good one.
I think I said Andrew Johnson. Did I say Andrew Johnson or Andrew Jackson?
I think you said Andrew Jackson.
Okay,
that's what I heard anyway. I don't know. I know how you are with last names.
Yeah, I'm terrible. But I could see back then there would be probably more of a fight. So now you run into this other reality of where Masons basically would potentially run the country.
Yeah, so you think things would like completely 360 and eventually it would become like we would be like the New World Order. Yeah, and, yeah, okay.
I can see it happening, and I can see it happening off of one person taking the doctrine too goddamn far.
Right, yeah.
Whereas somebody in a high position is now, oh my God, Aaron, Puppet George and the Clan.
And one of the other things he was asking about was how would it affect charitable organizations? And what I was kind of getting at was you can't really make the large scale kind of charitable contributions, especially the monetary ones that Freemasonry makes, if Freemasonry is banned.
I'll
hedge my bet on that. You could probably make like anonymous donations or like donations in somebody's name or something like that, and it's still it comes from the craft through that person. You could probably get around it. But you wouldn't see I don't think you would see these Shriner type hospitals. No. You wouldn't see Masonicare like we have here in Connecticut.
Children for Dyslexia.
Yeah, these types of things would not, unless we could just in some kind of obfuscated way funnel money and funnel, you know, labor and volunteerism and stuff into those organizations. But you could never call them Masonic.
Right. David Zalt does underground, like what happened in German Masons during World War II. Yeah.
Basically. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. Something along those lines. And don't forget those German Masons who were, quote unquote, underground were also working with the French Resistance.
Some of them were.
Some of them were trying to oust their own, you know, they went against their own government in a sense, if you really think about it. So, yeah, I could see something like that happening. So, back on if, you know, Andrew Dackson beat his opponent with a cane and Masonry basically, quote unquote, took over the government. I think personally, now I'm going to compare it to the Man in the High Castle. Now, this kind of ties into my other thought, and it was when Roosevelt and Truman were president. They were the most powerful, quote unquote, powerful men in the world, and they were both Masons.
Mm-hmm.
Truman was the 33rd. So if there was another time in history where the Masons could have went for a power grab, that would have been the time too.
Right. But there was no real impetus to do so back then. Now if it were banned.
Right.
Again, back during the Morgan affair,
I can see it happening. Where they would grab power. Now, and I'm going to tie this to the Man in the High Castle a little bit. If you notice if you ever seen the show Man in the High Castle, it talks about how the Nazis took over America. They destroyed DC, which I don't think would happen in our alternate universe of Masonry taking over. But if you notice, all the streets were clean. Everybody was polite. There was a lot of cameras and oversight and people being watched. Do I think Masonry would do that? No. But I can totally see where the virtues of Masonry would be instilled. And I could see somebody taking our ritual and or our, I'm being careful here, our obligations, the penalties per
the
se.
Moral imperatives at the very least,
yes.
I could see. Right?
Taking
where
them
it's
to
people
the
are, yeah.
potential extreme.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, they won't allow you to just be mean.
Yeah, it's like against the law to be mean.
Let me explain. In a Masonic lodge, you do surrender, in a sense, quote unquote, some of your freedoms.
Yeah.
When you go to lodge, you're not allowed to even out of lodge. We as Masons are told that we need to act by a certain way within or without our lodge. And we have a junior warden that takes care of the incidences that happen out of lodge. And we have a senior warden that takes care of the incidences and bad behavior inside of lodge. So I can see. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you had it right. Yeah. So the senior warden handles transgressions in open lodge, and then during refreshment, it's the junior warden. But yeah, refreshment extends to driving to work and flipping somebody off, or getting in a car accident because you're aggressively driving or something like that. If you do these kinds of things and you have like a square and compasses on the back of your car, you could be brought up on charges depending on what the circumstances are. And you could lose your affiliation with the craft as a result.
Correct. So I can see how somebody who is a Mason, like let's say he's a Grand Master of the United States, which is another alternate reality, we could even fucking jump down that hole because George Washington was offered it and he turned it down. And said, no, it needs to go by the states. So... I mean, if you had a Grand Master of the United States of America who was also as acting, quote unquote, President of the United States, and everything
was.
Did
we do that one before? I don't think we ever.
We never did
that one.
No,
we
never
should do that. We should do that after this.
Yeah. So, if you had a Grand Master who was a Grand Master of the United States of America, in conjunction with being named the President of the United States of America, like it was all kind of part of one title, Commander in Chief, the whole. If it was all wrapped in one title, I could totally see how. Somebody who maybe of Andrew Jackson's temperament, because he was kind of an asshole. Let's be real. He was a brother, but he was an asshole.
Yeah, he did give.
Could take it to that extreme where actual penalties being done.
Yeah.
Could happen. Aaron says, I feel like the political parties would take a slight hit. Oh, without a doubt. They wouldn't take no slight hit. But here's why. Because in our lodge, we strongly... There's no political parties in a lodge. I really think that if Masonry was in this alternate universe to be running the show, world, country, whatever, the government would be set up just like a Masonic lodge.
Yeah, and in fact, there are a lot of parallels. Okay, so even though George Washington did not become Grand Master of the entire United States, he was very big into states' rights, and that's why we have the system we have here where there's a jurisdiction per U.S. state.
Correct.
But I just don't think that it would ever...
I don't see political parties even existing, because I'll tell you what, if there's ever a quote-unquote clique in a lodge, we did a whole thing on lodge cliques, where certain people are clicky and they vote a certain way, and then it's more prominent with the old timers. Yeah. Let me be clear.
It's not supposed to be the case, but yeah, it's going to happen in pretty much any social circle.
Still a Honda.
That sounded like a Harley.
I think you would have political parties, but they wouldn't be openly like, we're the Democrats, we're the Republicans, because I think that the Grandmaster/presidents of the United States of America would shut that shit down stupid fast.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to think about. Like, would Freemasonry become, like, you know, would Freemasonry exert more influence on the government if this were to happen, if you had the Grandmaster of the United States plus president, or would it be the other way around, where the U.S. government starts, you know, rubbing off on Freemasonry?
I think the U.S. government would rub off more on Freemasonry. Here's why. Mm. Because we have a code of conduct in our lodge that there's not supposed to be cliques and all this stuff. Like, it's kind of like an unwritten rule.
Yeah.
Is there cliques? Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's human nature.
It's human nature that you bond with like-minded people, but it's a bad thing because, I use the case of George Washington, his cabinet was just riddled with Federalists and Republicans, and he had all, and they fought like cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That's no secret.
Like, but you can't have a free-thinking government without opposition. Like, everybody can't think the
Unfortunately,
same
way. We have a government that's not really like that anymore.
It's pretty polarized.
It's pretty polarized. But he was against it. And he actually went in for... He was trying to get the political parties abolished. Of course, both political parties gunned that shit down in Congress.
Yep.
But I can see where... there would be a major power struggle, and I think it would also affect Freemasonry. And in the end, you'd end up with the same result of a split. Call it a Northern and Southern Masonic jurisdiction, ends up going to civil war. I mean, I'd throw whatever you want at this alternate reality. I mean, you can go bananas. That's why I like doing these, because it's really just kind of thinking.
Yeah.
You're just kind of thinking about, like, the what ifs. Like, what the hell would happen? So that's kind of what I firmly believe, is that you would have it would hurt the craft more than help the world, in a sense. I think it would take away what our original tenets were. And then you'd get, you know, grandmasters/presidents coming in and changing things and changing their own words. And it would be ugly, really
so
ugly.
So in my opinion, if this were to happen, I believe that Freemasonry would pretty much continue unimpeded. And without a whole hell of a lot of changes. And the reason that I'm going to say is because exactly what Aaron Neumeier was saying during World War II, was it him that said that? I can't remember. It might have been Daniel Valdez.
Daniel Valdez.
That Freemasonry went underground.
Right.
You know, during occupied and, you know, when Nazis occupied Europe. So what happened after that, right? So we weren't really able to operate in open lodge. People weren't able to wear a Masonic ring lest you would be branded a Freemason and put into concentration camps.
Correct.
Because there were 200,000 and there was a special symbol on those 200,000 men that were put in the camps just for no other reason than they were a Mason. Look, that's a pretty rough period of history to be a Freemason in, but people still met.
Right.
They still operated in secret. And when the war was over and everything went back to, you know, a period of relative peace, Freemasonry was fine.
Right.
It came back the same way it was before the war started.
Mm.
Its rituals, the charges, everything was still the same.
Right.
So I think if Freemasonry can endure that kind of period, then I think it would be able to bounce back from a Morgan affair gone crazy.
I mean, realistically... the hell with the Morgan affair. Let's even talk about when the church was going after Freemasonry. They were trying to actively stop Freemasonry in its tracks when it first started getting traction in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we're not used to being freaking persecuted, if you will. It's kind of like our thing. It's just everybody, you know, I mean, nowadays everybody just goes on YouTube and talks shit. But I mean, it's not like we're not used to it. I mean, people don't like what we do, but they don't understand it. You know, I mean, then they go and blow up Georgia Guidestones. And I mean, that had nothing to do with the Masons. But, you know, you get this persecution.
Did they ever find who did that?
Yeah. No, they never find it. They ain't going to find out. But you get this persecution that's happened time after time after time. And realistically speaking, in our reality, it may happen again.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you think about it, we may come under, you know, attack again. I mean, we had the Milwaukee incident. We had the Grand Lodges getting burned down, or lodge buildings being burned down that are like historical. So we still in a sense are under attack, but on a grandioso scale.
Yeah,
I would tend to agree with you that I think that Masonry would just close up shop and just go underground.
Go underground and then come back.
We'll be in the basement
better than ever.
We'll be in the basement of this building where the babies are buried. Yeah. Right, fuckers.
Right. Well, there's no babies
buried under our basement like we were accused of.
No. The thing about Freemasonry is it has a very, very, very lengthy history, right? And we're not, you know, I mean, obviously we're, as Masons, we revere history. We revere our history. But the fact that we have that long lineage, like, nobody wants to be like, oh, well, we're just going to stop being Freemasons.
Right.
And let that line be broken, that would be pretty much reprehensible to anybody who has any value in history whatsoever. So I don't foresee that ever happening. I don't care how bad things get. You can always go underground. Going underground is pretty much the worst thing that I think could happen with Freemasonry. I don't think it would ever be abolished. I don't think it would ever die off.
I think, personally, and well, first read Aaron's comment, because that's funny as hell.
What, that business meetings would be interesting again?
No. Next one down. Read it aloud.
A bunch of old past masters together underground. Yikes, it's bad enough above ground. Yeah, fair point there. It could get ugly.
Now, see, I'm going to have an alternative to that. You said it's going to be bad for Freemasonry if it goes underground. I don't think
so. Oh, no, I'm just saying that's the worst that could possibly
happen. Oh,
it could never just. It would never just be completely abolished in every way. I don't think, even if a government decided to, you know, basically assassinate people that said they were Freemasons, because guess what? That's what the Nazis did.
We're screwed up here. And, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. We're just going to get raided like Mar-a-Lago. Whoa! See what I did there?
I don't think
Papa George is like, I'll show you my box!
I don't want to get raided.
Anyway,
too hasty for prison.
Oh, you're definitely holding somebody's pocket without it, though.
Oh, gross.
You're gonna end up freaking melting down a red coat hanger to put on lipstick without it, though.
Jesus Christ! Speaking of alternate histories, too pretty for prison.
Oh shit! Anyway, what was I gonna say?
I have no
idea. I'm going off the rails there. I don't know. I think Freemasonry, personally, if it went underground, it would become even more powerful.
Yep.
Here's why. We're out in the open right now. It's like, you know, it's all over the internet. Oh, this is what the Masons do. You know, people are like, why am I going to join Freemasonry? I could learn their handshakes just by a simple Google search. But if we really, I think it would be a transformation of Freemasonry. They'd go underground. They'd change everything about them. They would change the handshakes. They'd change the grips because they want them to now be secretive again so that you don't get exposed. So you're going to have a change in ritual. You're going to have a change in handshake. Now what's going to happen
I'm still thinking about what happened during World War II. And like all that stuff stayed the same.
I probably didn't do it. If I was a betting man, I can't see somebody being like, giving a hand gesture to a Nazi, you get shot in the face. Like,
Well, so they personally they weren't doing it openly.
They probably weren't wearing aprons either. I'm just saying,
I don't know for sure, but I don't think they changed the ritual. I don't think they changed any of the ancient charges. Like, masonry was still masonry. It just wasn't.
Okay, I'm just saying the recognizable things that people recognize a Freemason.
Modes of recognition.
Modes of recognition would change. And now you have that mystique now built up again. If people are like, I wonder what the Masons do. I want to learn their handshakes. I want to learn their secrets. I want to know what are they up to. What are they up to? You're going to build that Google mystique anymore. Again that you can't Google search anymore. Yeah. And I think you'd see a rise in the craft.
Okay.
My personal opinion.
I could see that happening.
You'd get more, you know, leaving notes underneath park benches and stuff.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
The whole mystery of it. You'd see a lot of the
we'd all be pig pen cipher like coming back. Well, the pig pen cipher is easily breakable. They'd have to come up with something new.
A form of it is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. You know? Well, nowadays it would all be through some sort of encryption, right?
Right.
So using some sort of messaging service that is not the mainstream kind of text messaging system out there and have it be end-to-end encrypted. That's kind of like the modern analog to the old pig pen cipher. And yeah, we would have to use things like that to communicate Masonically, lest the government find out.
Yep. Shay, rise in craft along with rise in conspiracy. Yeah. And realistically, I think some of those conspiracy theories would be founded because I think, personally, if masonry was forced underground, you're going to have a lot of pissed off Masons.
Yeah.
And I really think that some of those conspiracy theories about trying to topple the government or trying to get some sort of a retribution for making us go underground, I think that absolutely would happen.
Yeah, those particular conspiracy nuts would actually have something to go on.
Yeah,
there would be a lot of anger out there.
Yeah, I think there'd be a lot of anger and animosity in a sense of revenge of Masons like, yeah, now we ain't taking this laying down. More prominent probably out in your more rural areas than in your city streets. But then again, you know,
it's
if you really think about it,
a city population.
True, but you also have a lot more of a population.
Yeah.
In those, so I think you would see. It would be kind of like Blade. Remember when they were like writing symbols on the wall and shit? Like,
oh yeah,
like the vampire layers. They would have like written symbols on the wall, but nobody else knew what they were. But somebody who was of keen eye and knew what was going on, they'd know what the symbols mean.
Right.
I think you'd see a lot more of that.
I would agree. Let's dial it all the way back to. I like what you said earlier about the church, and it made me think about the papal bull that was issued. About Catholics not being able to join Freemasonry. And I know that's
kind
of like...
That was in 1983, by the way.
I know. And I know it's not really all that enforced. It's kind of like a gray area, right? Because I know plenty of Catholics that are Masons and, you know...
That's because y'all need Jesus.
Right. I mean, whether or not they're... look, all that aside.
Nope. Sorry.
If they decided... to, and this is kind of like the government deciding to abolish Freemasonry, but if the Catholic Church decided, or the Pope at the time decided that we're not just issuing a papal bull, like it's going to be a full-on, and I know this wouldn't happen in the 80s, but like a full-on holy war against Freemasonry.
Right.
Right, where it's not only you can't be a Freemason and also be a Catholic, we don't want Freemasonry at all anymore. And you know they had the power to do these things back, you know. Back during the actual holy wars that were waged. It makes you really wonder, like, if something like, I mean, it's the same kind of, I guess, level of persecution that, you know, the Nazis perpetrated against the Masons. So, you know, would it be any different? I don't know. What do you think? Because now it's a religious organization, basically, decrying Freemasonry and saying that it cannot exist as an organization anywhere where the Catholic Church has a presence and has authority. Which is not just one country.
I mean, in modern day, There are so many free thinkers that there's people that think the freaking world is flat.
Well, I don't think it would happen in modern day.
Modern day is just a smorgasbord of just shit.
Yeah, the Catholic Church is not going to start a war with any organization.
I mean, even
in
the Catholic
day.
Church has come out recently when back in the 1700s, it was like, oh, the world is flat and this is all existence. Give yourself to God. Now we actually have what's called the Lucifer Satellite, which is in Arizona, controlled and owned by the Catholic Church, who openly admits, yeah, there's a possibility of aliens.
What?
Yeah, this is true.
I've never heard of any of this.
Yes, there's a satellite in southern Arizona.
A satellite
in Arizona? Not a satellite, a telescope in southern Arizona.
A radio telescope?
No. Like a look into the stars and telescope. What the hell is up there.
And it's owned by...
And the Catholic Church basically came out and said, yeah, there could be the existence of aliens. Now, that's modern day. You dial it back to 1700, it's a telescope on my gram.
What?
Montana. Oh, is it Montana?
Oh, on Mount Graham.
Mount Graham.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So there you go. See?
So I know there's like a scientific...
See, I'm not as stink as you dumb I am.
No. I know there's like a scientific, you know, whatever you want to call it, a piece of the Catholic Church, right? Like...
Safford, Arizona. I grew up there. Boom! See? Okay. Like I said, I'm not as stink as you dumb I am.
All right. So the Catholic Church is a lot more scientifically minded than they used to be. Yeah, I'm not saying that they would ever persecute Freemasonry any more than they already have today in modern times.
I think there would have been, in an alternate history, we would have been persecuted a hell of a lot more. We would have been pushed to the breaking point, if you will.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks, but... So...
Certainly it wouldn't exist in Italy.
No. So we got 10 minutes left. So we're going to play a game.
Okay.
What would you, in an alternate universe, we'll just pick one because, again, there could be multitude. Mm-hmm. If Freemasonry did truly run the world, and in this alternate universe, Freemasonry, we talked about Freemasonry either falling or rising. Let's just go with a rise. Where do you see Freemasonry if it did take over and control and not control? I see control is a bad word. Ran.
Okay.
Because Freemasons don't really control. We run things. We run a lodge. We don't control the lodge. We run the lodge. I mean, shit's gone tits up in the room literally right over there. Yeah. You know, on any given night, is somebody getting a, you know.
Dude, I can't even control this computer.
So control is a bad word.
Yeah. But
if
we do
Masonry.
Run
And took the opportunity when it had the opportunities to what call it Truman, call it after the Morgan Affair, call it George Washington, whatever, had the opportunity to actually be a prominent government and or slash world power.
Okay.
What do you think the world would look like?
I'd like to think that it would be a much better place, right? Because at the very least...
Better than what it is now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also...
And on our plane, if you will.
Yes, on our in our particular reality. I think it would be better than it is now. So, first of all of that polarization, at least in the government here in the United States between the two political parties and everybody that adheres to each and everybody's always fighting and back, I don't think any of that would exist, right? Because I don't think there would be two polarized parties if Freemasons were actually running the show. I think there would still be free thought. I still think there would be differences of opinion, and those differences of opinion would, you know, collect into different political groups.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not Democrat, maybe not Republican, whatever, but I think the discourse between those groups would probably be more than two. I can tell you that right now.
Uh-huh.
And I think the discourse between those groups would be a hell of a lot more civil.
Okay.
So I don't think any of... You know, the crap that we're seeing in politics today would exist. I think, in general, people would be much nicer to one another.
Okay.
I think people would have a healthy deference for authority. I'm not saying, like, oh, everybody has to conform, because, no, that's not what free thinkers do. But, you know, in a Masonic lodge, for example, you defer voluntarily to the master. If the master says something and he says, you know, look, we're not closing the meeting yet, guys.
Right.
We're not done yet. Then you're not done. You can't leave. You can't just get up and, like, you know,
no, you
storm off.
You can get up. I got to take a shit. Give the sign, walk out.
Yeah. I mean, that's still like you're respectfully asking for permission, and nobody's ever going to say no. But what I'm saying is that, like, that air of deference, I think, you would see that in, okay. you know, in the general world, in the profane world.
Okay.
Right? Where you don't scream at your boss or something like that. Like, those kinds of things would happen, I think, less frequently. Okay. Because those kind of moral codes that we live by, and again, they differ between jurisdiction, right? So mm-hmm. I guess it depends on which jurisdiction rises up to take over, you know, the government or the world.
Okay.
But I think those things that are common among all of the different jurisdictions, those moral, you know, imperatives that we all live by as Masons, I'm pretty sure that would find its way into society because... I mean, it finds its way into lodges. It doesn't always work out. Some of us fight in lodge. You know, there are some outliers.
I love reading the comments.
But in general, lodges are pretty civil. And I think the general, you know, public, the world, the workplace, whatever, mm-hmm. out there on the streets, I think you would see that same kind of level of civility.
Okay.
With occasional outliers where there's still, you know, there's still crazy out there. It's okay. crazy even in a lodge.
All right.
Sometimes.
So. I have to read the comments, though, because the comments... I love the freaking comments. Dan Valdez.
Opus Dei.
Resolving conflicts would be different, and green beans would be the national vegetable.
Yeah.
Good one. I think you're right there.
So, I'm going to take an alternative to what you just said.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
Is it going to be the pessimistic viewpoint?
Pessimistic. Not pessimistic. We'll say the peasantry. The viewpoint.
The peasantry?
It'll make sense okay. in a second.
All right, let's go.
So, first off, I think you would have there would be more people provided there. Yes, I agree that there would be more people taken care of. There'd be a lot more charity and all that stuff. That I agree with. However, there's also going to be a us versus them mentality. And if you look at it from the point of an outsider joining a Masonic lodge, you're stopped dead at the door. You can't just be a public person who just decides, hey, I want to come check out this Masonic meeting. You get stopped dead at the door.
Yeah.
So I think there would be a lot more oversight. I think there'd be, we talked about cameras. There'd be a lot more people, in a sense, the men in black watching what you do. As Masons trying
lodge security would lodge be a serious security. Business.
Yep. And I really think that if it would be the Masons against the profane world. Think about it. That's kind of what we do right now.
I mean, that's kind of the way it is right now. I can see, it's just we're in the minority compared to the profane world.
Correct. So but if we were in the but if we were in government majority, places and we're in the majority, it. Now we're not yeah. the minority no more. Yeah. And I think you're gonna yeah. see a lot of people who will And again, I'm not shitting on Masonry. I'm just saying that this is why Freemasonry does not get involved in a political party or the strings of government, if you will, the yeah. strings of power. For this simple reason,
it'd
is
be
that
pretty terrible to be a Mason in that world.
You'd probably you be doing it? Yeah, it would be. You'd have a much different role as a Mason than you would in our plane of existence because yep. you would be responsible for, in a sense, keeping quote unquote control of the profane and outside world.
Yeah.
So I can see it, for me anyway, I could see it going very differently. Yeah. Where you have an us versus them mentality where we are the hierarchy and you are the subjects. And, you know, again, you've been talking about, yeah, we talk about, yo, it'll be cleaner and people will be moral. Well, how do you keep people moral? How do you keep them to stay on the moral compass?
Well, I was thinking that
you enact laws, right? You enact yeah. laws, like, don't throw your gum on the frickin' sidewalk. Well, then what do you do to punish them? Well, I mean, if you're taking it from a Masonic point of view, we have three things: reprimand, suspension, and expulsion. Now mm-hmm. we can't really expel people.
They go to trial.
And how are our trials usually conducted when there's something egregious? You're expelled.
Yeah.
So what's expelling now that we're a political power? Well, I would take it one of two ways: deportation.
Yeah.
Or execution.
Exile. Yeah.
Or execution.
Yeah.
That
you really don't want us in charge of
you don't want us in charge of it. I mean, I'm just saying
never like, gonna go well.
to me, I can see it going, especially when you get certain people, and we see it in our own craft. You get certain people who have a certain amount of power that get this power, and they change things and abuse things and make things worse than they actually were initially.
Yep.
I've always had this mentality, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But we do have people who come into power positions that feel like they need to make their mark. I need to go down in history. I have to have my name stamped on this. I need the world to see. And they shake shit up that doesn't need to be shaken up. And what ends up happening is you get this pullback, if you will. And I think you can read between the lines of what I'm talking about in Connecticut Masonry. Yes?
No? Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
You're picking up what I'm putting down, right?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm just not commenting.
I'm not.
Yeah. So it does happen. Like I said, those are outliers, right? Like, it's not supposed to happen.
It's not supposed to happen. But let's say that outlier, if you say, gets to the position of Grand Master of the United States, President of the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, it took one outlier in Germany.
Yep. Yeah.
Think about it. It takes one person to ruin this whole shit show we call life.
Yep. But I think if you're pulling from a population of the profane world,
but we wouldn't be.
I know, but if you're, that's the way politics is right now, right?
Right now, yes.
Like everybody.
Perfect the way it is.
I think if you're pulling from a group of only Masons. Yep. That have made it to a position in power, which is very similar to how a Grand Master, like, you can't be Grand Master unless you've done some kind of leadership activities in Freemasonry. I think there's a smaller percentage of those power-tripping kind of wackadoos.
Well, again,
in the Masonic population, if that's where you're pulling your political elite from, then in the profane world.
Here's the problem, though.
But if it does happen, you're real screwed.
And here's the other problem. And writer-artist, I'll get to you in a minute. Here's the problem, though. Freemasonry also is somewhat of a progressive line.
That varies.
That varies. So
it does vary. Depends on which jurisdiction.
But get to the Grand Lodge. Is it a progressive line?
In Connecticut, it is.
Bingo.
Not in every.
So now you progress until you get this guy, the Outlander, if you will, now comes to power and starts doing
bad things. Yeah.
Bad things. It could happen, and there's a greater probability of it happening because we don't allow, in our Masonic lodges, we don't let the town of Seymour to come up here and elect our master. We elect them ourselves.
Right.
So I think that would...
So we'd be a whole new class of political elite. Wow.
You would basically have a monarchy, if you will.
Yeah.
It could be really freaking ugly. You know how...
Or a dictatorship. Which is really what kind of like a lodge is when you think about it. Like
communist, whatever you want to call it.
Well, it's more like a dictatorship. Dictatorship. Like the master has the final
Final say. So with that being said, and then how do you remove that master? Oh, wait, you can't.
Yeah, term limits, I guess.
Term limits. There's no way to really truly
remove
them.
You survive until the end of the
year. I mean, we've had some shitbag masters up here that did nothing. And again, I'm not shitting in my lodge, but listen, we've had strong masters, we've had shit masters. It's just how it happens. You know, sometimes it happens. But there's never been there's no way to remove a master. I think every jurisdiction, there's no way to freaking remove a master.
Yeah, that might be one of the ancient charges.
So now you get this guy who becomes the Grand Master, President of the United States, or World Masonic Leader or whatever.
So there are ways to remove a master. I think can't...
execute him.
Well... Can't Grand Lodge, in our jurisdiction, can't the Grand Lodge bring a master up on Masonic charges?
Correct. Who gets rid of the Grand Master?
Oh, nobody can. He's above reproach.
Bingo!
Okay, fair enough. Yep.
So, writer-artist, what happened in Connecticut?
Nothing too egregious.
We had a Grand Master that came in and wanted to change a bunch of things and went against the grain, if you will. He had said some things that Masons didn't really truly agree with, and you had a power struggle, if you will.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can explain it.
I'm not even going to go into any more details on that
because, again, I'm not going to be bad-mouthed Masonry. But these things happen in any organization. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a football team. It could be midget wrestling. There's always some sort of... disagreements or a power struggle of who's what's right and what's wrong. But my
again, my ending of this alternate reality is it would be really bad. I mean, take it to the man in the high castle.
Yeah.
The Nazis ran, they controlled the world. And even still, in that world that they had, there was a lot of backstabbing, and there was a lot of assassinations and
espionage.
Espionage, yeah. And there's the guy J. Edgar Hoover was actually a Nazi in the show, and he was actively after the main character of the show, yeah. trying to. And I think, personally, in my opinion, you'd take Freemasonry away from what it originally was intended for and what it is today, and you destroy it
mm-hmm.
from the inside. There'd be, yep.
It wasn't meant to be a political
construct. It wasn't meant to be a political construct. It was meant to be a way of morality in life.
Yep.
And I think you'd pull away from it. You'd crush the craft. The craft would not be what it is and what it's supposed to be.
Agreed.
So
let's not do that.
Yeah. So
let's take steps to avoid Freemasonry taking over everything. Yeah,
we don't want to. I'll be dead ass honest.
Much to the chagrin of the conspiracy theorists out there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, conspiracy theorists. We don't want to.
Yeah, no, we don't want any of that.
And realistically, and I'm not sounding like an asshole or an arrogant fuck here, but I mean, the sky's the limit for some of us as Masons. Like, I got up pretty high. I had to buy a lot. I had to step away. You know, but I was up there pretty high. Could have took a grand chair in the state of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. I chose not to because I had other things going on. But
if we ran the government, you could have been like head of propaganda or something. I could have. Like that.
But realistically, you're still on the rise. If you think about it, right?
Department of Education.
Oh, fuck you. Like, one of the reasons I came to Freemasonry was to learn and coexist with other mentalities and freethinkers. Yeah, that's what we're all about. But I really think that in an alternate reality, if Freemasonry had a position of power, we would be less open to freethinking. We would be more of our way or the highway. We're the moral ones. You're not.
Yeah.
You're the profane world.
I think the one setting
that's
it up.
That's how I feel it would go.
I think it would be set up with the best of intentions. But yes, it would go off.
We all know how the best of intentions go.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Eventually, it would go off the rails and it would turn bad.
And all it takes, like I said, it takes one asshole.
Yep.
One asshole with a squared mustache. That's all it took.
Yep.
To start a whole goddamn world war.
Yep.
That's my personal opinion. I would love to hear more in the comments, even after we're done with live. Let me know what you think.
I'd love to know. And there were probably a lot of other interesting points of history where things could have branched off that we could have examined, but we took an entire hour talking about just one, so we'll probably have to broach this topic again at some point in the future. But definitely give us some ideas. Let us know in the comments what you think.
And this is my own personal opinion. I think in these alternate universes, dimensions, if there is such a thing, I think all roads lead to the same outcome. Way you slice it, all roads lead to the same outcome. Literally. Again, let's take it to Cotton Man in the High Castle. The resistance was formed. They fought back. And then you had a free country.
Okay.
And it went back to...
So eventually everything...
Eventually everything's just going to come to the same outcome. Mm-hmm. You can go as far as Nazis. You can go as far as Soviet Union, China taking over. Eventually, it may take years. The timetables may be different. But I think you're going to come to the same exact outcome. The people just don't want to be controlled. They don't want to be told what to do. They just want to live their goddamn lives. And that doesn't matter what fucking plane or what government's running the damn show, whether it be the United States government, Freemasonry, communism, Nazism, whatever the hell you want to call it. Like, all roads lead to the same outcome.
Yeah.
People don't want to be controlled.
Freedom.
Freedom. Free thinking. That's what we do. Definitely want to avoid dictators in the craft. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's just kind of the way.
I mean, you could even go with just the first half of that word. You don't want to avoid dicks in the cloud.
I mean, that's the construction of the Masonic Lodge is it is a dictatorship.
Yeah.
The master has unusual powers.
Here's the thing with Freemasons, though. We don't allow, or we try not to allow ourselves to become that. That's
right.
Part of the struggle.
No, when I say dictatorship, I don't mean like a malign dictatorship. Like, you got God, what was that guy's name in Iraq there? Saddam Hussein. Like, not that kind of dictator. I'm talking more like dictator in the strictest sense of the term, which is what he says goes, right?
Don't be a dick.
He has the last word. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be a negative thing. Only power-hungry, crazy people can turn that into a bad thing.
You don't want to be a penis potato.
A what?
A dictator. Penis potato.
Oh, God.
Anyway, my point to the matter is this. Even when you become the master of a lodge, you're told the one thing you're supposed to do is to keep peace and harmony in your lodge.
Right.
That's one of your charges as to become a master.
Which also means not being the bad kind of dictator, because guess what that causes? Disharmony, which you are sworn to not do.
Don't be a penis potato.
Don't be a penis potato.
Well, I think I just started a new coin here. New coin phrase. Penis potato. We're going to see that all over the
The memes will commence immediately after the episode.
What do you say, Kenny? Think we beat this one with a shovel?
I'm good, yeah. My joints are freezing up here.
Cold?
Like C-3PO. Now they're just getting
Because you were
crampy because I'm old.
I need to eat. Fat boy's hungry.
Yeah. Go feed yourself.
Yeah. All right. Let's shut it down.
Go have a...
Thank you all for tuning in, as always. Please. Potato. We love these type of alternate universe conversations because it's just us talking. It's free thinking. I'm not reading off a teleprompter. I'm not reading off a computer. So
he wouldn't be able to.
Let us know what you think. Tell us your thoughts and opinions in the comments. You know, tune in anytime you want. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, we might have a new episode idea from those comments. You never know. It's happened before. Actually, many times our listeners have brought topic ideas to us. So.
Writer, artist, great show. I'll hit the bell so I can get... Yeah, hit the bell so you can catch it later. Okay. Only saw 10 minutes, but I'll go back and watch. Yeah, rewatch, man. We usually have some pretty good points on this. And these are my favorite ones to do, the alternate universes, because we think and we talk and we don't give fact. We give opinions, and we're able to just kind of use our own brains, and that's what free thinking is all about.
Yep, and you bring up a great point, which is definitely subscribe on YouTube, turn on the notification bell. I'm not just doing that because we think we're YouTubers or something. Shit. It'll actually come in very helpful because George and I and Joe and Steve, like, our schedules are all crazy, right? It's really difficult for us to record on, like, a routine, recurring basis.
I don't even know if crazy is the freaking word.
No.
Psychotic is more like it.
Yeah. So we basically record when we can. So because we don't have a standard schedule that we adhere to, if you have that notification bell on, you'll always know 10 minutes or so before we start broadcasting.
Correcto. Yep. All right, Ken, shut it down. For the Freemasons Podcast, I am Right Worship Brother George Mudry signing off.
And Worship Brother Ken signing off.
Penis potato.
Another dimension, another dimension, another dimension, another dimension.